You may be seated. And if you would, please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. Been a little slight change. I know it says Mark, but turn to the book of Matthew. You want to go to chapter 28, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 8. If you're using the Bibles in front of you, which look similar to this one, you'll find that on page 706. Matthew 28, verses 1 through 8. We read these words. It says, "After the Sabbath at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdala and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. And there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where they lay him. Then go quickly to tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples." Great words. Look forward to hear what God's word has to say to us this morning.
Love rolled the stone away. The grave could not hold Jesus Christ, but instead, he has set us free through the glory and the power of the resurrection. God is incredible. This morning, I want to ask you a question, and the question is this: were you there? There's a gospel song that's been out for a long time, and it says, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" You know, the reality of the answer to that is, yes, you were. And some are going to say, "Well, you know what, Pastor, had I been there, I never would have been a part of that crowd that cried, 'Crucify him.'" Yes, you would, and you were. Well, how can you say that? I wasn't born for 2,000 years. Yes, you would, and you were. The same as I was there. The same that everyone who has ever lived was there in that crying mob, in that horrible scene of Calvary. But the good news is that there came a Sunday morning after a Friday. Were you there? I want to share with you this morning just four things. I want to share with you, first of all, were you there? Yes, in representation, though not in body. Were you there? Yes. In declaration by John the Baptist. Were you there? Yes. In need, though not yet born. Then were you there? Yes. In prophecy, though not in person. We want to look at several verses of Scripture as we begin to look at this, but I want to share with you that since Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world, you and I were all there when the time of the crucifixion took place. For the Bible tells us in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, you and I were included in that moment. Not just the moment of His death, but you and I were included as well in that moment of His resurrection. Because it was for you and I that Jesus Christ died. It was for you and I that He hung upon that cross and took on all of the sins of the world. It was for you and I And therefore, we were represented as he hung there, suspended between earth and heaven on that cross. We were there. Not in body. But when Jesus Christ died, he wasn't just dying for those who were pounding the nails. He was dying for everyone who had ever pounded any nails. He wasn't just dying for those who lied about him on the at the trial. No, he died for all who would ever lie in all of the history of mankind. He didn't die just for those who hung near the cross. He didn't die just for those who pulled out his beard. He didn't die just for those who spit on him. He didn't die just for those who beat him or whipped him. He died for everyone who would ever commit a sin in the history of mankind. Yes, you and I were there. He took our sins upon himself. He took our failures to that cross that moment. We are represented at the time of the cross. Secondly, we were there in declaration by John the Baptist. I want you to notice with me, if you would, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. It's an interesting statement that John makes. Gospel of John, chapter 1. John has been dragged before the priests and the Levites at that time, and they're asking him, look, by what authority do you do all this baptizing that you do? By what authority do you declare these great things that you declare? Look at verse 25, and we're going to read through, but I want you to notice the statement in verse 29. And they asked him, that's the priests and the Levites, they've been sent by the Pharisees. And they asked him and said to him, why then are you baptizing if you're not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? John answered them saying, I baptize in water, but among you stands one whom you do not know. It is he who comes after me, the thong of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. These things took place in Bethany beyond the Jordan where John was baptizing. Now look at it. The next day, he saw Jesus coming to him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You see, by declaration, John was acknowledging that salvation could only come through this Jesus. Salvation could only come through the Lamb of God, through the perfect sacrifice for mankind. That salvation could only come to you and I these thousands of years later because of the faithfulness of God Himself to us. And so we are there in the declaration by John's own words when he says the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Everyone who has ever committed sin is there by declaration. And the perfect Lamb of God, as he died for you, and he died for me. The good news, he didn't stay dead. The good news, he rose from the dead. The good news, he offers forgiveness for you and for me. He offers forgiveness freely so that we can have a relationship with God to be able to have life everlasting in Christ. John the Baptist understood the purpose of the Christ. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold, if you will, the perfect sacrifice of God. You see, that was much of the purpose of a lamb in the Jewish mindset. Lambs weren't just for lunch. Lambs were for sacrifice, for the sins of the people, for the sins of families, for the sins of individuals. As they would come and the blood would be sprinkled on the altar, the sins would be absolved, if you will, of the people and everything that they had done. Well, the only problem was that there had to be sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice. Because they could cover the sins, but they couldn't take them away. And so John says, look, behold the Lamb of God. Behold the perfect sacrifice who takes away the sins of the world. Never again will there have to be another sacrifice. Jesus Christ perfectly fulfilled all of God's requirements to bring us hope, to bring us forgiveness, to bring us cleansing, to bring us life, to bring us to God. What an incredible moment. The Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. In declaration by John the Baptist, you were there. So was I. The third thing I want you to note is that you were there in need, though not yet born. I find it very interesting that God, and this is a part of what makes him God, in his amazing knowledge, in his amazing wisdom, in his omniscience, if you will, God knew that there would be a time when mankind would sin against him and would violate his perfect law and his perfect will and would fall from grace and from steadfastness in God. He knew that would happen. And so before the world was spoken into existence, Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God to be slain. The Lamb of God slain before the foundation, before the formation of the world. Before man ever drew a breath, Jesus Christ was to be the perfect, pure, holy sacrifice. If you will, God himself dying for his creation. God himself taking on our failures. God himself reconciling man back to himself. In the book of Romans chapter 3, we read where we've all sinned. And we've fallen short of God's glory. For all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us. I'm going to tell you, that doesn't mean every one of us in this sanctuary today. It means every one of us in every sanctuary everywhere in the world. And it doesn't just mean those in sanctuaries, but those who would simply not darken the door of a church. They as well have committed sin. It doesn't just mean those in that regard, but it means all of those who have ever lived, and in reality, all of those who will live after us will have sin issues. For all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. Then in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says, "And the wages of sin is death." And the word death there means eternal separation from God. That's the wage of sin. That's what we earn. When we commit sin, we earn eternal separation from God. For the wages of sin is death. Spiritual death. The good thing is that Romans 6:23 doesn't end there. For it goes on to say, but the gift of God. The gift of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Please understand, it's not through your parents. It's not through your spouse. It's not through your children. It's through Jesus Christ. Jesus himself declared, "No man comes unto the Father but through me." Only through Christ. It's important that we realize and that we understand that there comes a point in our life when we must all make the decision, what will I do with Jesus Christ? Because we were there. It was our sin that hung him on the cross. It was our sin that placed the stripes on his back. It was our sin that spit in his face. It was our sin that forced the driving of the nails. It was our sin. We were there. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We have all earned eternal separation from God. But God has a gift for us. The perfect Lamb that takes away our sin. The perfect sacrifice to appease a holy, righteous God and set us free from the power and the penalty of sin. We were there that day in deep need, even though we hadn't been born yet. You and I needed that hill at Calvary as much as those that Jesus prayed for that day when he said, "Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing." You and I needed that moment every bit as much as those who gathered around and cried, "Crucify him." Because every sin that we commit cries, "Crucify." We were there in need, even though we hadn't been born yet. And then number four, we were there in prophecy, though not yet in person. I want you to see something. The Gospel of John chapter 17. Gospel of John chapter 17. This 17th chapter is one of the greatest prayers ever prayed in the history of the world. In fact, it may even be the greatest prayer ever prayed. Jesus, in this prayer, he prays first of all for himself as he is going before the Father. And then he prays for his immediate followers who had walked with him. You know, the 11 or the 12, if you will, plus those who had been close, perhaps even the 70 that were sent out two by two, perhaps even more than that. But he prays for all of those. And then we come to that 20th verse, and he says this. He says, I do not ask in behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word. Friends, Jesus knew that there would come a time when you would need forgiveness. Jesus knew that there would come a time when the enemy of our souls would do everything he could to destroy us. So he prayed for us. Don't you feel honored to think that Christ himself took a moment and focused on you and on me, and that he yet today ever intercedes for us? Paul said he is our mediator. He mediates. He pleads our case. He is our defender. He is our help, and he ever goes to the Father for you and I. Wow. To think that he loves us enough to focus on us is incredible. Even 2,000 years before we were born, Christ approaches his Father and says, I do not ask in behalf of these alone, these who are right here with me physically at this moment, but for those also who believe in me through their word. You and I were there. And you see, that's the glory of what God did through Jesus Christ. Not just on Dark Friday, but on Bright Sunday. As the sun rose, the earth shook, the stone rolled away, the Christ came out. You and I were there. That's how much God loves you. That's how much God loves me. So the question is, not were you there, but is he here? Have you given him access to the very heart of your heart? Have you received him as your personal Lord and Savior? Have you invited Christ to come in and to clean up the mess that you have made of your life? is he your Savior? You're a part of his crucifiers. Now is he your Savior? He wants to be. In fact, the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus is speaking. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and have fellowship with him and he with me." Jesus knocks at our heart's door. He says, "If you'll just open it up, I'll come in. I want to be a part of your life." Do you want forgiveness for being a part of the crowd that cries, "Crucify"? Do you want to be set free from that crowd and be a part of the group that says, "Glorify"? I will glorify the King of Kings. I will glorify the Lord of Lords. Are you content to try to muddle your way through life without Christ? Or do you want to have him as your Savior? Easter Sunday morning would be the perfect moment to find Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Why don't you come? Why don't you come? Let's stand. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to please take your hymnals. Open up to number 181. We're going to sing this gospel song. And if you're here today and you would have to say, "You know, I've never really taken Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, but today I wish to do that," I invite you to come. Come to this altar and find Christ. You know, he wasn't ashamed to hang on that cross for you. Don't be ashamed to step out from among family and friends and give your life to him. Find Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, and then live for him. Were you there? Yeah. Will you be with him if you do it his way? So let's sing number 181. If God is speaking to you about your relationship with him, please step forward as we sing. Lord, how we thank you. We thank you for your willingness to take on our sin so that we could have freedom. We thank you that you were willing to take on all of hell in order to set us free. We thank you that you were willing to leave all of the glory of heaven to be born in this world, to suffer rejection, to suffer pain, to suffer agony and shame, so that we could have life. Jesus, we thank you that you rose from the dead and thereby have given us tremendous hope. Not an I hope so hope, but I know so hope, that when this life is done, the grave will not hold us either. But we as well shall be set free from the bondages of this life. And if we have trusted you for salvation, we shall have life without pain, without sorrow, without disappointments, without goodbyes. But Father, we'll have life with your presence. Now, Lord, I pray that each and every one of us may earnestly and sincerely search our hearts and our lives, our minds and our passions, and make certain that we are in your presence in all things. Keep us from the evil one, and keep us focused upon the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, I thank you for this congregation, for all of these who are assembled here today, and pray and ask now that you would guide us as we go to our homes, that you would fill us with the glorious good news that he is risen. We love you, Lord. We thank you for your love for us. For it's in your awesome and holy name we pray and ask all of these things. Amen. I'm going to ask Sylvia to come, and she's going to lead us in a benediction song. But I want to remind you, he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
God bless.